It's been 1,000 days, and I remember the days so clearly. I was fast asleep, and my phone rang in the very early hours of the morning, and my kids, my son and daughter, who made Aliyah to Israel, my son phoned me and said, "Dad, something really terrible has happened. I had relations up the north, and it was an absolutely horrific time for us on the outside. I cannot even begin to imagine what it must be like for somebody who was involved in that awful day 1,000 days ago." And somebody who was is Aviva Siegel. Aviva, first of all, thank you so very much for your time. And I'm sure that it's much warmer where you are today than it is where we are here in Southern Africa on a bitterly cold day in South Africa. What are the memories when you think back on that? And is it something that you've been able to move on after the trauma?
Thank you, everybody, for listening to me. I just want to say that in Israel now, we're melting. So I would love to be in South Africa now and rather be it cold. And I just want to thank you all for being with us, because I feel your heart is with everybody in Israel that went through this terrible, terrible time. Unfortunately, Keith and I, my husband and I, were kidnapped. Keith was there for 484 days. I was there for 51. And I'm sure that most of the people that are listening know that already. But I just want to say that because of what we went through and me fighting for Keith coming back for so long, the trauma is still with us. And, you know, I say that it's like having like an album of pictures in my head that I just want to erase. I want them to vanish. I don't want to feel them. I don't want to see them. I don't want to look at them. But I'm triggered by so many things, because that's how a trauma works. So I can just say that it's going to take time for all of us to heal, and to this whole country. You know, so many people and so many soldiers died since then, and so many families are still trying to pick themselves up after being broken up into pieces. And Keith and I are doing everything we can for the family to feel that we are okay, and to try and feel like, you know, normal. But unfortunately, we went through too much to feel normal like we did before. So I think it's just going to take time.
It's quite amazing, Aviva, that you're able to actually even talk about it. And I know when somebody loses a family member, they pass on. So many people, the first thing they'll say to you after wishing you long life, you say, "Are you okay?" And I mean, how do you answer a question like that when your mother, father, wife, or God forbid, your brother or sister or child has passed away literally 24 hours before? But 1,000 days later, if I may, are you okay?
So, you know, just a little while ago, somebody that lost his wife, he was crying with me, and I just tried to, you know, help him and comfort him. And I said, you know, the time will do it. And then he looked at me, and he said that the time, by going by, is making it even worse and harder. So I said to him, it's not that it becomes easier. You get used to that pain, and you get used to what you feel. And it's like part of your life, that pain. So I just want to say that 1,000 days ago, when Keith and I got kidnapped, that day was a very, very, very hard day. And I'd love to forget about it. I'd love to put it aside, but it's there all the time. So we're trying to be okay. I think that we're doing a lot for each other, and we're there for each other. And we've got a beautiful family and grandchildren that we love so much. And I want to feel and be okay for them. I want to be okay for Keith. And I want to be okay for myself. But it's going to take time.
So on a day like today, yes. And you've just mentioned you try to forget about it, and obviously it's not something that you ever are going to forget about. But on a day like today, when it's highlighted by a number, 1,000, and people are out on the streets, there's been some memorial services and marches and protests around the country today, a moment of silence this morning. How does that make you feel?
You know, I always say the truth. It doesn't matter because yesterday was the same day for me. I know that people went out. I didn't because I've gone through enough and I've had enough of everything. And even though I really feel that I'm with all the people that lost somebody from their family, and Kibbutz Kfar Aza, as you know, lost 64 people that I love so much. Some of the kids, they were in my kindergarten when I looked up when they were young, and I looked after them, and it's very hard for me. But every day is like a thousand day for me because I carry that with me wherever I go. And so every day is, sometimes it's harder, sometimes it's easier, sometimes I'm happier, sometimes I'm sad. And today, yes, it's a thousand day, but I think that I can't feel different because yesterday was hard for me also. So that's what
And
I feel.
so will tomorrow. What kind of support structure are you and the other hostages who have been released still getting after that terrible time?
First of all, the most and important thing is that the support that we get from everybody in the country is the love. All the people that hug us, all the people that give us a smile, all the people that, come and put their hand on us and just say, "We're with you." I think that's the most important support that any person goes through. From the government, of course, we get support. We can go to therapy, and we've even been offered to go and study something. But I can't even think about what's going to happen tomorrow, so I can't even think about what to study. But I would love to. So when I'll be able to, I'll go and maybe study art or something like that. But it'll come slowly, slowly. Everything will come, and that puzzle that we're in. That some days aren't so good and sometimes aren't, and some triggers that we have and some nights that we don't sleep, we'll be able to just, live a better life, but it's going to take time.
What do you tell people about what happened, and what advice do you give to your fellow Israelis and others who are involved in this terrible tragedy? What do you say to them? I mean, I guess only they can understand what you went through. It doesn't matter how many times you tell the story, how many times we hear the story, but only you and fellow hostages actually understand what it was you went through. How often do you guys get together, and what is the structure when you guys do get together? Do you speak about it a lot, or do you sort of sit there in silence? What happens?
Yeah, well, it depends who I meet. Some people like me like to talk, and I've got Keith that I can talk to all the time, and Keith has me to talk all the time. So we often speak about what we went through and remember like different moments. Some of them are good and some of them aren't because we were together, and sometimes when we were locked in a room, we could be together, and we want to like share that memory. That sometimes we were together and it was okay because we could help each other just relax. But that was just like moments. But it is
Yeah.
different when I talk to a hostage than to talk to anybody else. But I just want to say that I wrote a book, and it's going to be out in English as soon as we found a publisher. It is anybody that's listening to me. We need a publisher in South Africa that will publish the book in English. And I just want to say that I went really deep into detail. So when anybody wants to understand what I went through and what the hostages with me, like Keith, went through sometimes, and the way we helped each other, and what I did to survive, and what I did to just help myself relax because I was like, it was tense all the time. The bombs were all over, the killing was all over. It was just very, very scary all the time. So I did everything I could to put it down on paper and write it down. That is the memory that I can leave for the people that want to read it now and for the next generations, because I'm sure that there's kids that are 10 years old that in 10 years' time they'll want to read what happened to us as hostages. So the book is left for them, and they left for my grandchildren that will get married. They'll be able to share what I went through while I was in captivity with Keith there in 20 years' time, or with their children. So, you know, there's many ways to talk about it and many things that we can do to leave those memories and to feel that we're doing everything we can for ourselves to get better. So, you know, some of the stories that I wrote in the book, I can put aside.
So would you say that writing the book in hindsight is part of your therapy?
I didn't feel that when I wrote it. I never forced myself to write. I had these notebooks and I had a pen. And the most important thing for me was the pen that I used to say that I used to dance on the paper with my hand. It just came out. But now, after the book is ready, I can understand what it's doing for me now, that feeling that I'm leaving it for my grandchildren and for the people to read it for in many, many generations of what happened. And it's all written in the book. So I think that I'm really happy that I did it. I didn't feel that it was therapy when I did it, but now I can feel that I can put things aside. I don't have to remember every detail of everything, even though I remember. You can ask me what happened, and I can dive into details that nobody will believe that I still remember, but it's something that you can't just forget.
What how do you feel when you read a story that the IDF for Shin Bet to eliminate?
You know, I others hostage. Found myself. I used to watch like at least a film a week, or watch TV or programs or whatever. I don't even put the TV on, and I don't watch anything. I think it's part of what I went through. I don't want to hear sad stories, but it's not that I'm not disconnected. I do know, I look in the news and read, but there's so many things that like pop up, and I don't want to read because I don't want to feel anymore, because I don't want to feel sad anymore, because I've had enough. So I just can say that I feel that I'm doing as much as I can to get better from that heavy soul that I've got inside me.
Aviva, we send lots of love, and thank you so much for being so honest and answering all the questions. I'm sure some of them are not the easiest ones to answer. And one of the pertinent comments that you've made, and one that I hope does ring on, and that is that in 10 or 15 or 20 years' time, people do know what happened, and people remember and never let it happen again. Aviva, thank you so very much for your time joining us this afternoon on Chai FM. Lots of love from everybody here in South Africa, and I'm sure from everybody listening to you around the world. That's Aviva Siegel, who was one of the hostages taken 1,000 days ago on the 7th of October.